We'd like you, can we please celebrate Castle and the leadership for the opportunity to use this place? We are so grateful, and I celebrate everyone that is here. Please have your seat in God's presence. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Holy Ghost, that there exists a being that within him exists three personalities. Are you with me? So we know that there is a God that is the Father. We know that there is a God that is the Son in the similitude of the Word. So when you read John chapter 1 verse 1, you know that the Word is spoken of us who? Us, Jesus. So when the Bible began to educate us that when the Word began, the personality amongst the three, like many of us would have thought, that the personality that actually existed was God the Father. We've been taught that it was God the Father that was accurately responsible for the dispensation and the creation of the earth that we sit. But that is not accurate in itself, because when John chapter 1 verse 1 says is that in the beginning there was the Word. So before the beginning, the personality of this being was God the Father. Are you with me? But when time came out of God the Father, there was a requirement for him for certain things to come into creation. And the personality that was responsible for creation was God the Son. Are you with me? Still with me? Now, the emerging energy, or rather the force that was to bring the creation reality to be, was the person of the Holy Spirit. So we now traveled back in time, or rather, we traveled further in time to to Genesis chapter 1. When the Bible now says, in the beginning now. Are you flowing? So look at this. We have the reality of existence before time, where is God the Father being resident. And then we have the existence where time began. The moment where time actually began, we had an existence of God who was the Son. And then within the concept of the beginning, now that the beginning has started, we have the concept of the reality of the Spirit. So the Bible now says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 that the Spirit of God was now hovering over the face of the earth. Which is to tell you that the beginning was not only a subject of time, but a subject of realities of existence. Are you feeling me? Because within the reality of what we know as beginning, the Bible made mention that there is a possibility of deity. Okay, open your Bible, Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. Let me show you something. Keep playing that sound for me. That is what we need to do. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, the Bible began to show us that the Spirit of God began to hover. Now, what we have been taught is that the deep talks about water. But that is not accurate in itself. Are you with me? Okay, so I'm not here to teach you on the mystery of water, so we won't go into that today. But when the Bible said deep, what the Bible was trying to help us understand was that there is a civilization that was now submerged. And the body that submerged that civilization is known as the water. Are you with me? Can I teach some things here today? Okay, so flow it. The Bible now says, before now, let's go back to verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. God now created. So you now see that when you talk about God in scripture, he's not saying God the Father. He's saying God. We are now the ones that by the Spirit of Revelation will now come to see who is that particular being, God, that is actually doing this reality. Because the word God does not speak of personality, it speaks of position. There is a difference between the word God and the word Lord. Wherever you see in the Bible the word God is mentioned, it means a position. It is what? God. Means that the position that the Lord occupies is what we call God. So the Bible said that the devil wanted to be like God. He didn't want to be. Are you with me? He didn't want to be the Lord because he cannot be who he is not. What he wanted to be was to assume that position. He wanted to dethrone the Lord. Meanwhile, what he did not know was that the position that the Lord occupied was one with him. That was actually the reason why the devil could not dethrone God. Not just because God was omnipresent, not just because God is all in himself. The core reason was because everything that God created is one. So the Bible now says in the beginning, God. Now, so within this system of God, the person that was in play was the Word. Are you with me? Which is a testament of the fact that there are certain things that he created that Moses could not slip into. Because everything you see in the first five books of Moses was not everything God revealed to Moses. But Moses sought for God, and in God he found God. And he didn't just find the God of Israel, he found the God of the past, he found the God. The present disposition of God was not only just revealed to Moses, the past disposition of God was also revealed to Moses. Meanwhile, it was not everything. The same way, how did I know? When the angel came to me in John, in the book of Revelation, he said, write this thing down. But there are some that he wrote that he closed. He said, this one, you close them and keep them. It will not be revealed not until the end of the days. So it was not everything God revealed to Moses that was written in Genesis 2 to the first 5 books. The things that are required for everybody to know. Hey, when Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples, he said, unto you, it is revealed. sentiment. So it is not every resource personnel you get in the Bible, but you get through the Bible. It is not every resource material in the kingdom that you get in scripture, but you get through the Bible. Let me give you an example. Are you with me? For example, there is a popular sin known as masturbation. You can't find the word masturbation in scripture. But by the reason of what you can find through the Bible, you know that is not a reality in. Are you with me? So it is the same simply to that we use the Bible as the foundation. It is not compulsory that you find literally in scripture, but the Bible says that the very scripture that we have, that Pastor Adebayo was saying, this was the realities of men that lived in time, and these things were brought to them by inspiration. So if you stand under this very inspiration, when you look at that verse, you travel beyond the verse. That is why for some of us who are staying in the place of prayer to open scripture, listen, stay in the place of prayer to open scripture. When you open that verse, you find that, you begin to travel beyond time, and you now begin to see things that are not written. You see things that are revealed. So the psalmist now says that for men that love me, I am going to reveal to them not things. He said, I will reveal to them covenant. So the reason is because scripture came by covenant. It can only be revealed by covenant. Are you with me this morning? Let's go back to the subject matter. So we now go back to Genesis, where we now begin to understand that the personality that created everything is Jesus. So if you want to understand everything in time, the personality you go to is not God the Father. The personality you go to is the world. So within the world, can you find the existence and the entirety of the world? So whenever you have certain things, I'm teaching you a prophetic history. If you want to, that is why the orator of the prophetic is not the Holy Spirit. The orator of the prophetic is not God the Father. The orator of the prophetic is Jesus. Because everything within time has its mandate. Hence, Psalm 110 verse 3 says, sit at my right hand, and I will make you, I will put everything beyond your footstool. Who was sitting at the right hand is not the Holy Ghost, is Jesus. So the more you begin to get closer to the personality of Jesus, the more you now begin to understand what he was doing. Hence, all these things I have said is just for you to know that there is emphasis in the lifetime of Jesus while on earth. If you want to understand your mandate and escape route out of confusion and escape route into understanding the things in this realm and the things beyond this realm, is proximity and intimacy with the personality of Jesus. Meanwhile, you cannot get this to this place without the aid of the Holy Ghost. Hence, he said, when you go via the lens of the Holy Spirit, you now come into me when me and you can become one. Hence, it's the mystery of Mahanaim. So you now see that there is a pathway. In order to meet the Father, you need to go through the Son, and to meet the Son, he left somebody that will help us to come into him. So we now begin to understand that for us to journey in time, the vehicle that we will use, the chariot that we will use, is our understanding of John chapter 1. This is why it is very important that you don't skip every command that Jesus said. I love Bibles that have Jesus' word in it. If you can read every word and understand every word that Jesus said, you will understand the mystery behind the creation of it. Everything I have said is just to tell you that the words of Jesus are more important than every word in scriptures. If you want to understand what is happening, meanwhile, we are dealing on the subject matter of burning altars. The reason why I told you that the emphasis of the believer is the word. Are you with me too? Are you with me? The emphasis of the believer is the word. That is what I've been saying so far. And the reason why that is so is that for you to understand the subject matter of altars, for you to understand the subject matter of the burning altar, you need to look via the lens of who? Jesus. Okay, now I'm going to do a little bit of a teaching session. Whenever you are giving a subject matter, for those who will go into the teaching ministry, for those who will fall into the teaching ministry, whenever you want to speak of certain things in scripture, or rather, whenever you want to speak of certain things in the spirit realm, the two things you go through is first, look at it. Did Jesus do it? Meanwhile, you must understand that there is nothing in scripture that Jesus Christ did not fulfill. From Genesis to when Jesus was on earth, even after he died, there is nothing in scripture. Solomon already said, when he said there is nothing new under the sun, he was talking about Jesus. There is nothing on earth that Jesus did not do. You just need to see it. Meanwhile, to see these things, it is not given unto every man to see. There are men that have eyes that cannot see, but there are men that have an eye and yet they see. The challenge in the body of Christ is that that we have men that are seeing men as trees, and then we have men who are seeing trees as men. That is the challenge in the body of Christ. A lot of people see both.
Belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to me.
Your prayer has not become an ecosystem. You are still a mortal man. You you're still transacting the brilliant level of other men. The Bible says in the book of Mark chapter 9, he says, as he walked before them, oh, he says, he began to transfigure. He says, the body, oh, Paul told us, for that the time we come, when the incorruptible will take up the corruptible, we know that that gets you a witness. But Jesus told us that prayer can take you beyond where death will not take you. What death does is that death gives you a permanent state of the incorruptible, but prayer gives you an already existing state of the incorruptible. So what Jesus was supposed to look like after he resurrected was what he entered in Mark chapter 9 because of the place of prayer. Why did Jesus Christ have to leave civilizations to go into the mountain place to pray? There is a reason why. That's why I said, Kai, man of God, if you want to know a subject matter via the lens of the Creator, you need to know it via the lens of the Creator. You need to see it and experience it and do it the way Jesus did it. Fathers of faith did not go to conferences to achieve God, like he was saying. They did not go to conferences. They did not look for men of God in the north, east, and south to find God. They found God on the mountaintop, not because the mountaintop was the best place, because it was the place where mortal men did not exist. The place of prayer is the place of spirit activities. If your prayer life is all about letting men know you can speak in tongues, sir, you are not praying, you are fainting. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. To this end, he spoke a parable. Why? Jesus Christ was communicating to his disciples. The reason why I speak in parables is because to them it is not given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Listen, sir, in the body of Christ, we have not touched things. The reason why I spoke about Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. So that you know that wherefore, like KJV says, that we are encompassed in life. What does that tell you? As you are sitting down, there are spirit materials and spirit beings standing beside you. But because you have not entered an ecosystem of prayer, you cannot lay hold on them. And because you cannot lay hold on them, you have not been able to transact the proportionality of the propensity and the proportionality of what prayer can afford. Don't say you know how to pray if your prayer life only gives to men and not take from spirit. Listen, it's not about how husky your voice is. When you see a man that has touched a dimension in the Holy Ghost in time, you will know, sir. Why did Jesus have to leave? He said he spoke a parable. It means that, do you know that Luke chapter 18, verse 1 has become a subject matter in the body of Christ? When a man wants to teach on prayer, you cannot teach on prayer without making emphasis on Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Meanwhile, what we see as revelation was what Jesus was saying is meant for people that don't have understanding. We have not yet understood what is meant for babies. Yet we came to know it. Are you with me? Jesus said to this end, he spoke a parable. So what we are seeing, you know the parable? He says men ought always to pray and not. That is a parable. It means that is actually one tenth of the genuine understanding of what he would have said if he was speaking to disciples. But because men could not understand what prayers meant, the only thing he could liken it to was faith. Meanwhile, in John chapter 1 again, he came with an understanding, helping us to know that in him was light, and that light was the life of men. The reason why you faint when you don't pray is not because your mouth is kept short. The reason why you faint when you don't pray is because there are certain spirit materials that helps you with continuity of existence. Why you are alive is not because your nose is working, and it's not because you are able to breathe oxygen. It's because there are certain spirit materials helping your true form, which is spirit, to stay in connectivity with your body. Okay, I asked for permission to teach you this. How many of you have seen cup? You know cup. How many of you know water? Okay, now flow. If you put a cup full of water into a bowl full of water, what happens to the water within the cup? It remains the way it is. Now, the water within the cup does not mix with the water in the cup. Are you flowing? Why do you think that is so? It's because there is a barrier, a cup that keeps it in check, which means that no matter what happens, there will be water within the surrounding, which will mean that follow me. Whatever happens to that situation, water will still be present. Are you with me? Whatever happens, whether the water in the cup spills over, where will it go to? Into the bowl full of water. And if the bowl full of water becomes plenty, it flows back into the cup. Now, the reason why you are still in existence is because there are certain spirit activities keeping your spirit man in check. The moment your spirit activities leave, your spirit man has to evaporate, because it needs to be in its ecosystem. And the ecosystem of spirit is spirit realm. This is why it is important for you to dwell within the space activity of spirit. That is why men pray. Not because they want something from God, but because in order to continue the place of continuity, in order for continuity to exist, in order for continuity to be present, men need to pray. But you must understand that that is actually one of the least revelation in the place of prayer. Because this in itself is only what I find. Because we need to know. I was sharing with them a few weeks ago. He said a time came. Because the disciples began to wonder, we don't see Jesus pray around us. Why is it that Jesus does not pray around men? What is it about the... Where in scripture did you see Jesus praying around men? The only time what seemed like prayers happened around men was when he was enforcing that which he had seen. He said, whatever I see my father do, that is what I do. So whenever he came down for what we call his prayer life, he began to do the things he was seeing. So the entirety of Jesus' ministry of prayer was not only in speaking but also in singing. What we call prayers today is what we all do when we pray is to speak. We go there and claim we have done 4 hours and 6 hours and 10 hours, and all you did was that you spoke and sing. But prayer life is not complete, sir. Because the Bible says, whatever I see my father, when did he see his father doing it? When he went up the mountain. This is why there was an importance. The valley where men are, and come unto me, where I can show you things that the normal eyes and the normal ears of a man cannot see and bear. There was a time in my life when I began to tell God, I say, Father, in all things that you have given me, I thank you because I see and then that I hear. It is not every man that sees. What you call dreams and visions are only for spirit material and spirit activities in the valley place. When you ascend unto Horeb, you don't see with your spirit eyes, you see with your natural eyes, because your natural eyes will be over by your spirit being. I think I'm losing some people behind. Some people are not following. Place your hand on your chest and declare Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19. Declare Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19 quickly.
Essence, the things that you can do, may God open our eyes and that our
why Jesus was not doing what we call or what we know as prayer. You know, what the natural or the native believer sees as a prayer life today, or when what you claim that you have a burning altar, is that you are able to keep the discipline of time every day. Is that true? That you are able to sustain 1 minute, 2 minutes, 30 minutes. Yes, we can celebrate that. Those are actually important things. You do not keep your license. In fact, if you want to actually touch something in God, it's important for you to have meeting times. Are you with me? Are you with me? Many of us have a scattered prayer life. That is why you don't have encounters. I won't teach on that too. Let's do a little bit of scripture. Aaron and his sons saying, now hold on, because there is a command here. It means that let us pause and do a little bit of seller before we continue. He says, command Aaron. Now, one thing you must understand about the nature of God. Are you asleep? Are you tired? Are you sure? Are you sure I can teach? Thank you for granting me permission. Now, when the Bible says command, I think we spoke a little bit about it. But the word command there is not trying to say order. Okay. Yeah, are you with me? He's not trying to say order somebody or compel somebody. Are you with me? Are you with me? What the word command there was trying to say is that institute. So what God was telling Moses to do was that he needed to institute an order. Now, God did not only stop there. He ensured that the order was instituted after a bloodline. So he now says, command Aaron and his son. There are a few times in scripture that God mentioned people's names that are present in their life. Most of the time, angels came to give names of people that were yet to be born. But there are a few times in scripture when God himself had to mention either to his servant or to his people the names of certain people. But for God to mention the word Aaron and his son, it means that the word Aaron and his son was not just talking about the person Aaron, but what Aaron represented. And you must understand that what Aaron represented was what God said. He says that what? Moses shall be my friend. He is my friend. But Aaron is more of a prophet and a priest. So God was saying that unto the position of priesthood, institute this order. Are you in? So that is why there was a command there. For you to know that there is a structure that God has already created. And the structure is that everyone that must come into priesthood, or whoever calls himself a priest, must have within him this particular institution. In fact, you cannot be ordained in the order of a priest before God if this particular institution is not made manifest already. Now let's look at it. He now says, are you with me? He now says, this is the law of the burnt offering. Now, we need to stop because there is a colon. This word is actually being expansive. You know, in your academic pursuit, if you are asked to explain or enumerate certain things and you are asked to list, you not only list, you put a colon to explain it. Are we together? For example, in case of those being biochemistry, if you are asked to explain maybe central dogma or the transcription of DNA to RNA, they say explain transcription. You write transcription, you put colon, you now begin to explain the processes. Now, this is what is happening here. He says, in this order, the law of burnt offering. He now wants to explain. But before we do that, we must understand the terminologies being used. The word offering there was not only speaking about bringing something. Because if you read the root Hebrew word there, the original word there was what? Burnt ascension. Ascent. Okay. No, I said I don't want to stay here. He now says, it is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning where? Those using KJV, where will it be burning? Did he say on it? And there is a reason why. If you read the book of Exodus, when God had to give Aaron the specification of the altar, you see, many of that part of scripture, many of us will skip it because it's boring. Is that true? But you must understand that the reason why God had to tell Moses to write it down is because the laws and the principles that he instituted was because of these specifications. Now, if you do not understand how the altar appeared, you will be confused. Why is it that the Bible is saying in it and not on it? Grammatically speaking, the fire should be burning on it. But the Bible said, if you look at the structure of altars in those days, it is like a box. And that box had, how many of you have seen this charcoal stove? Now imagine that, you know, when you now place the gas, wire gas on it, and then you use it to cook. It's like in that similitude how the altar was, although it's in a rectangular shape. The way it was designed was that there will be things where you put the wood and you put all your necessary formalities and you now cover it. So the fire does not only burn on it, it burns from within the altar. So whenever you bring your burnt offerings and you place it there, the fire coming cannot die because it's not burning on top. It's burning within and through. Okay, don't worry. I'm not doing a lecture on this. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 4 quickly. Are you there? Okay, let's go from this. It says, and in the process of time, it came to pass. Now, before that, let's quickly do verse 2. Like I said, Pastor Adebayo had looked into my message a little bit. As and she again bear his brother Abel. Now, full stop. That is the end of that. Now, this is where I want to lay emphasis. Normally, how many of us are twins? You are a twin, let me see. Who do they first mention? Are you the Tayo or you are the Kenyan? You are the Kenyan. Who do they first mention? Your Tayo. Okay. Now, all I just asked was this full stop that was mentioned. That told us who was born first and all that. Now, full stop. The Bible did not mention Cain first. Are you aware? Stay with me. Read your Bible. Open your Bible. It didn't mention the Tayo first. Normally, Cain should come first. The way it was mentioned in verse 1 and the A part of verse 2. In verse 1, it says that Cain was first born. Abi, are you with me? But when he came to this place, when spirit activity came into reality, Cain was no longer the position one. Abel became. Okay, stay with me. He now says, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. Not sheep. Stay with me. Of what? Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. He didn't say of sheep. Now stay with me. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now you must understand that this was not talking about profession alone. It was talking about identity. Okay. I don't want Holy Ghost help. And in the process of time. Now the reason why the Bible mentioned what it does mention. Normally the Bible should talk about who they were, whose they were. Have you? They were born unto Adam and Eve. Just tell us their life story, but the entirety of their life that the Bible mentioned was that Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. That was the identity that the Bible gave to two people. Normally, if I meet you for the first time, what you should tell me is not that you sell food. What you should tell me is who you are. Give me a breakdown of the curriculum you should not just tell me what you do as a profession. It means that the Bible was not talking about their profession. Now let me take it. Can I take you a little bit deeper? Are you sure? Now, the reason why the Bible brought this was to open our eyes. A man amongst them looked for patterns to find God escaping the curse that was upon mankind. The other one was satisfied with it and stayed with it. Because before now, when Adam and Eve was leaving the Eden, God did what? Caused the ground. The identity of one of them was that he never sought for God. He ran after the pursuit of what God condemned. He ran after things that appeared to be like God. That was his identity. This was why the Bible said that Cain was a tiller of ground, a man that was satisfied with the curse, a man that was satisfied with what God had condemned. He never looked for something new in God. He did not want to do something to find a new nature in God. He was satisfied with staying with the curse that God made. That is to tell you the personality of Cain. Cain was not a believer trying to find God, but to find something he could get from God, like many of us are. That was the personality. As the tiller of the ground was not telling you his profession, he was telling you his disposition about life. What he saw God as, so God caused the ground. And yes, Gabriel knew that in searching through the rudiments of God, God never said that the sheep should die. So the Bible said that Abel was a keeper of sheep, not of sheep. Not talking about the multiplicity of a ruminant animal, but the personality of a man to want to shepherd. So the first shepherd in scripture was not just Jesus. The first shepherd as a man was who? Abel. What you appear to be like in God. When we all stand before the eternal monarch, it is what you have entered in Zion to the lens of intimacy that will come first. So be it known to you that you might be a man of God. When you come before God, you are welcome and we are ahead of you. Because he has found something in the eternal time. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jehovah. I can hear that.
Different, sir. They did not have scriptures. Oh my God, all the
that Jesus had, that he became the excellent being of Abel. Oh my God, hope you know that Jesus was the finished product of what Abel was supposed to be. Are you aware? Listen, he was not just the firstborn amongst men. What Adam was supposed to become like, because the Bible said that Adam fellowshiped with God, and whatever Adam named the animals, he was so. It means that God was grooming Adam to become what Jesus was better as. So what Jesus was the finished product of what Adam was supposed to be. If you know what Adam was supposed to be in Genesis, it was the personality of Jesus. And Jesus became it in its entirety. He entered the entirety of it. We have lost things in this room. It is, oh my God. If you knew what believers were meant to enter, our sucklings were made. It says, out of the mouth of suckling. It's not a figurative statement, sir. It is a statement of age reality. In this realm, it is babies that should be declaring certain counsels. What elders do are to legislate the affairs of legalities. That is what elders do. And then when you now ascend as an elder, you will join the council. All you are doing is opening gates. Because the Bible said that the 24 elders are bound with doing what? Singing Hosanna. And the Bible tells us in the book of Psalm 150, he says that what they are doing, he says, I will enter. So what the elders are meant to do today is to open gates. We are meant to be men who open gates for babies to declare counsel. So if your pursuit in God is to declare counsel, sir, you are not a man of God, you are a suckling. Meanwhile, many of us have not even assumed the posture of a suckling. We have not assumed it. And you know you are not a suckling, that you are able to accurately decipher and discern the counsel of God. You no longer begin to argue on Facebook. That is how you know you are a suckling. We know, no matter how deep it sounds, because you have not come from the depth, it's true. It carries no weight. Don't try to sound deep. Come from the deep, sir. Don't try it. Everything I've been saying here are in clear English. When you see a man that comes from the deep, if there is something about what he says, he is drawing you. You cannot be standing there. You cannot be normal. If there is a drawing from the spirit, there is something that you are entering. There are some of us here. I am speaking what I'm speaking. Some people are entering revelations in Zion. It's because there is a realm I entered in God. I am taking you there. All I am saying are not just for the enticing words of men, but a demonstration of an intimacy born within your spirit. And the agenda is that you travel from Adeyemi and you enter the eternal monarch of God. And from there you can now begin to legislate the affairs of this ground. Why is it that 30 years ago Adeyemi used to mourn, fellowships used to soar, but today it seems as though everybody is silent? Are you not aware that God sent you as a man in this time to legislate the affairs of life? The burning altar thing did not come. Look for things, because it's a prayer meeting, it has to be altars. I want you to know that you are here today not to attend a meeting because I'm here. You are here because you are a representation of what God wants to do in this land and in this school. And if you fail in it, you will be questioned. In the process of time, it was required of them. God now had respected. Listen to me. If you have not begun to do the things that God has required of you, you are not yet ascending. You cannot ascend. You ask the question, Holy Ghost, why am I at this level for a long time? There are certain times that it is not the Holy Ghost doing, it's actually your doing. You have not ascended. In the process of time, God had respect. He had respect. You don't know what it means. And let me tell you why. The reason why God would not accept their sacrifice was because they did not do certain things for God to accept it. Still, can I go on? Or maybe I should stop. Okay. There was a reason why God could not. I think it is the Living Translation that says God accepted, but God did not accept with the word that, you know, when you say God, I said, means that God received the love. No, God actually had, he honored it and regarded it. He did not receive it. And the reason why God could not receive it is because what they were offering was an unfinished product. Let me give you an example. You know, when you are a contractor, for those in the engineering field, if you are a contractor and you are asked to build a 3-bedroom flat for your client, and all when you invite your client to come and rebuild the house, what will he do? He will not accept it. And the reason why he does not accept it is because it does not collide with the blueprint that you gave him. So the reason why God did not accept the offerings of Abel and Cain was because it was not in the form that could be acceptable by him. Meanwhile, a few verses down the line, are you here with the Bible? If you notice, the word altar was not mentioned in Genesis chapter 4. The word altar at this point in time, verse 1, chapter 2, read it again. The word altar was not mentioned, and that's why God did not accept it. God only accepts offerings that come from altars. Are you with me? That was why God did not accept it, because it did not come from an altar. But a man found something in God that he was able to understand. For 2 months and claim you have an altar. Sir, no, sir. A man that has an altar is a man that lives within the forges of angelic activities. I will know if you have an altar by the energy that looms around you. At that time, if you claim you have an altar, your prayer life not only begins to be. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8, it says that it burns within the altar, and I taught you through the altar. When you have a prayer altar, when you begin to walk, you don't need to pray for men around you to begin to pray. That is how you know a man that has an altar. His life becomes an ecosystem of spirit realities. And Noah builded. Imagine a man after coming into this earth. Are you with me? The whole earth was wiped away with water. What do you think a man will normally do? He will want to begin to beat a tent. He would want to begin to look to where will my wife. You know, he had a wife. And he had three children. And the three children had wives. The agenda for a father, a family man, is to look for shelter. That should be the first thing a man should do. But a man entered God so much that something goes to him. He woke up in the morning and his first thought was not what to eat. He woke up in the morning and his first thought was not what he will wear. He woke up in the morning out of bodies and he lived within bodies. A man that has an altar is a man that lives. You can have a plan that today you will go and watch the man you want, but a man in body knows that his tomorrow is not decided. He's not even sure if he will wake up. It's not a testament of fear. He knows that he we cry for encounters, but we don't position for encounters. You know the story of Papa Oyedepo, 8 hours with Jesus. How many of us have heard that story? But how many of us are accurately positioned? You are praying. You know you can pray it at night. The rest of us will wake up in the midnight and then cry 5 minutes later. You do another thing 20 minutes later and then you doze off. And then you are expecting 8 hours for 20 minutes of prayer. What did Jesus know about prayer? What did Jesus enter? Emoji, if Jesus can pray, understand, I'm just believing the Holy Ghost to help me to explain this thing. What did Jesus know about prayer? The disciples saw him. A time came when he knew that his time was up. Do you know that it was not written that Jesus should use 3.5 years? Are you aware? That was why if you are reading the story of Jesus, the latter time of Jesus, you don't read it with speed, you will not get anything. If you read it, what Jesus did in the last year was actually a 10 years discipleship plan. He collapsed it in 12 months. The teachings of Jesus within his last 1 year of existence, he collapsed 32 years of discipleship into 1 year. So because he was in a haste to want to bring this, the first thing that Jesus Christ introduced his disciples to was prayer. And the last thing Jesus Christ introduced his disciples to was what? Prayer. Hence, when the garden of Gethsemane, he now looked for three of them. He said, I don't have time to show you what prayer. I know a time came in John 3:16 when you came, because you knew that everything that financed my activity was on the strength of prayer. And prayer was not what the scribes and Pharisees taught you. Do you know that the scribes and Pharisees used time to pray? And they were taught by Moses that when you want to pray, you face the wailing wall. Wherever you are, even if you are in slavery, you are meant to face the wailing wall. And whenever you face the wailing wall, God will hear you and deliver. What they did not know was that that realm of prayer was the realm of asking. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. God never taught them how to seek. He never taught them how to find. All he taught Israel, based on their present revelation position, was how to ask. So the entirety of the prayer life of the Pharisees, what made a man a Pharisee that day was not because he was a seeker, because he was asking. Meanwhile, Matthew chapter 7 verse 8 says, if you ask, you will do what? You will receive. It is given unto babies, this reality. That is why a new believer, when he comes to church, they are the ones that first receive testimonies. But you that you have been in church for 30 years, for 15 years, your testimony is that if it is coming in, that it is because God has graduated you from being an asker to a seeker. But Israel, at that time, anytime God wanted to bring them deeper to being a seeker, was when he made certain things scarce. And they said, Kai, you would have left off in Egypt. God said, okay, go back in the class. The same way, sir, God just brought a little bit of experience around you. He allowed certain definitions of what you call sapa to come around you. And because you were not old, God graduated you to becoming a seeker. You did not wait there. You told God, God, I believe me as an axer. And yet you are saying you want to contend for the powers of the age to come. Nothing will come. Nothing will come, sir. Because all you are doing, you are still positioned as a man that acts. You will keep receiving. God, I beg, so it will come in time. God, I beg, food you will eat. You are alive. It means that you are acting. For men that are seeking, even though they are hungry, they know they cannot die, because Jesus told them, he says, my prayer life is beyond these feeble things, even the birds. Do you see how Jesus Christ reduced the place of supplication? He says, even the birds of the air, they will ask. You are likened to a pigeon if all you do is to ask. That is what Jesus Christ said. You are likened to a dog. He says that, oh, the crumbs of the table is for dogs. That is what you are before Jesus. If all your prayer life is about, the believers, we have to live 95% of what they see as prayer life. Like he said, I think it was you that was saying this, sir, when he was ministering, when God gives you that million members, we used to be hungry to stay. To us today, hunger is a disease. But Matthew 5 verse 6 said, blessed are they. Oh my God. Hunger and thirst is a blessing. But what many of us see is what the psalmist said. He says, as the deer panteth after the water brooks. Do you know what that means? A deer that is panting after the water brooks is a deer that his life is threatened. He knows that is the place of safety. But because your life is threatened, you went to write a letter to God saying you want to be demoted to becoming an axer. And God said, no, wahala. God knows that he has little personnel. That's why when Jesus Christ came, he gave them a parable again. Oh, he said, the harvest is much, but we have, although there were many Pharisees, although there were many scribes, although there were many people, Sadducees everywhere, men that water lick the water lamia, they were always there at the top of the mountain, screaming and saying, we know how to pray. When the time came when Jesus met them, he said, these people are not praying. If you pray, you don't pray among men. Brother beside you, not even know that you're fasting. It is not about announcing. You know how many of us think about it? You think God is saying, don't announce your fast. No. God is saying, don't let men know. That's why he said, your left hand should not know. You don't pray amongst men. I'm not saying, meanwhile, I'm not saying you don't gather to pray, because when you gather to pray, you're not praying amongst men. It is a gathering of eagles, spirit.
Waka king in kai no fena.
Of pigmentation. The rainbow that you see is a revelation of gates that was opened. Because in the realm of the spirit, colors appear as dimensions. So what God gave unto man was the earth and whatever seven colors was seven dimensions of existence. That is what the rainbow is. Because a man built an altar. The whole of mankind till today. Do you know that as strong as that reality was, it was not sufficient? When Moses found God, God told him that another dimension of altar consecration had to be built. He now said, this time around, a temple is required to seat the altar. And there is a ceremonial gathering that is required for this altar to be effective. He said that the priest, the highest priest, he who seems to have attained the highest ranking of priesthood, he will enter what we call the holiest. So you will come to church in those days, and you throughout the service you will not see your man of God. You know what I mean? All of us will come to, and the guest minister, all you will see is his backside. He will enter the auditorium and enter the pastor's room, and then he will meet with other pastors, and then the pastors will point to him the place only he can go, and then he will enter there. I hope you know that that place, there is no window. Completely dark. The only illumination is the Urim and the Thurim being present. Oh my God. You enter a room. That is why Moses said that God could only be found in the darkness. Oh my God. God could only be found in the thick darkness. There are things my heart wants to say. Don't worry. He could only be found there. And when the priest entered, when he came back, they knew for a surety that the word of God would be declared. But listen, that reality was only possible on the strength of consecration, because the Bible said a time came when the word of God was cast. For God to now ameliorate this people, because Paul said it. He said, God sits in an unapproachable light. The conundrum was that how is it that I will allow men to come and meet me? There will be a protocol had to be. So God started introducing all the realities to them. He opened unto Cain and Abel the reality that they could bring to themselves. The first thing that was done in the existence of altars was that Cain and Abel gave themselves. Can I show you the pathway? People are sleeping. Can I show you the pathway? The first thing that God did, you know, let me tell you, I'm trying to show you through time what altars look like. Summarize. The first thing that God introduced to mankind was that altars was in presentation of personalities. What I taught you. So when you know you have an altar in the days of Cain and Abel, is that is what you are that you give to God, not what you have. Because the Bible never said what Cain brought was bad. He never said what Abel brought was better. The Bible never made mention of quantity or quality. The way the body of Christ have taught it that Abel brought the fattest one. No. No, sir. Abel did not bring a cow that was fat, because how can you compare a man bringing rice and a man bringing meat? There is no logical correlation between the two. You brought two pieces of meat. I brought a plate of rice. Normally, who should be appreciated more? I don't. When hunger meets you, the meat does not matter. It's the rice that matters. So the Bible never made me. Don't. Oh. Anyway, in their light, we saw light. So we don't condemn. But we appreciate them for that revelation, but we need to rise in that. And the revelation that is present is that these things were not talking about quality or quantity. God did not reject all, did not give regard because of what he brought. It was their personalities, like I told you. So the first dimension of all that's revealed was what? Temple. Okay, stay with me. This is why the Bible says, after what altars became, God now said, your body is the temple. But hold on. That is the ending. Are you with me? Follow me. So at point A, we see that the reality of personality or temple was born. God now graduated and began to show us that a time came when your life beyond yourself towards bloodline was important in the reality of temples. So it was required that sacrifice was needed. So Noah opened the reality of sacrifice. The Bible said that he took all the good things that came out of the ark, and then he killed them. Blood is a requirement. That's what the Bible now says. The life of an animal is in his blood. So life was now a requirement. So we not only know that temple is a requirement, is a resource material. We now know that blood and sacrifice is also a resource material. And both are strong enough to give us what we knew as pseudo-salvation. You know what I mean? They were able to give unto mankind at that time a suspended salvation. Are you in it? Do you see how mighty God is? God used the dispensation of Adam to Noah just to give a point. And the point is that there is a reality of eternity. God now used the dispensation of Noah to the dispensation of Moses to show another point that sacrifice and blood is a reality. God now used the disposition of Moses through to the days of Malachi that the altar needed a physical construct and that the altar fire was a requirement in it. So in the days of Moses through the days of Malachi, it was important for men to understand that not only will blood be revealed there, consecration and priesthood was required. So God revealed to us the third material. What is what? Priesthood. What is the first one? Personality or temple. Second one, sacrifice or blood. Third one, priesthood. And then when the days of John came, God had to go through that pattern. The Bible says that the angel appeared unto Zechariah at the right hand side of the altar. The three things, that's why Jesus did not come to condemn but to add up. The reality is now came when Jesus Christ was declaring to us that your body is now the temple. So all those things together could be found in a man. A man's body became his temple. His spirit man and everything within him became the blood that was required, yourself. And the third one, priesthood, was what God came. When God comes upon you, you become a priest. So the altar was not no longer a block put together. The altar did no longer become what we call as pulpit. The altar now became men. So the transition from the days of Adam, the one single sentence God was trying to make about burning altars was that burning altars are not burning stones. Burning altars are men. So the similitude was in Hebrews when he says, my ministers, this was talking about angels, but in similitude, he was talking about men. So when you look at Stephen, you don't see blood and flesh, because it can reveal only but a little. What you see is a divine nature in God, a man that has become an altar. When he walks, an ecosystem follows him. That is why it did not matter where Jesus prayed. What mattered was he who prayed. You can stay on the field, sir, and you can burn. There were men in our father's time. How I've forgotten this man's name. He was able to, he wanted to go for a ministration in a city. They chased him out of the town. You remember? And the Bible, and it was recorded, I said the Bible, it was recorded that he went to his father's grave where they could not chase him. And he stood there. He says, I will stay here. Let them come and watch me burn. And the city left their civilization. They came to meet him outside. This, he saw that in Jesus. He knew that the Nazarenes could not, the Nazareth could not give Jesus what he wanted. Jesus Christ went outside. And every time Jesus touched, the Bible said the city came to meet him on the mountain. He was not looking for them. Men were looking for things that were burning. Hope you know that it is given unto the nature of a man to look for things that is on fire. Ask Moses, what attracted him was a what? Moses, hope you know that a shepherd was exposed to different kinds of things. They saw lions, they were not afraid, they saw bears. So what could attract a man that was so focused? Only that which could burn and not be consumed. Only fire can attract them. I don't want to teach this one. This one, I'm going into the teaching of. Let me leave it. Only that could attract. That's why when the Holy Ghost came in Acts chapter 2, he came as fire. That was why 3,000 came. Not because they had tongues, but because men were burning. Hey. You might not have the required certificate. Your tongues might not be eloquent. You might not have mastery in grammatical construct or symbolism. You know what, sir? You might not have that first class that you wanted. In fact, you might be having carryovers. But sir, when you enter your next lecture, go burning. The Lord is missing. You might not have everything that you need. Your account might be really in minus. Pound Pay can be looking for you, was are born. You might not have the influence that you want, sister. But no, the guy cannot. He might not be asking you out for getting. Ask the Holy Ghost out and born. Go on, born. Born first. Stephen, born, born. Born and fly. Born and fly. Listen, wait, wait, wait. We are cooking this thing. So by the time we fly, this place will not contain us. Hold on. Everything Jesus did from the day of Adam and Eve was to tell you one thing. He do you know how special you are in this disposition? God used the entirety of the era of the first man and first woman to their children to explain that you are a temple. So the next time that you are feeling depression, you have failed Adam, you have failed Cain, you have failed Abel, you have failed every human being that lived. The next time you look at yourself and abuse your body, you have not only failed God, you have failed every human being that existed in that era, and they will question you. That is why I first told you that we are encompassed by such a great cloud. There are people that lived within the days of Moses and Malachi. If you don't enter priesthood, all of them will line up and ask you, why were you not a priest? All my life was to explain one point, become a priest, yet you did not. And then we now came to the days of Jesus. From the days of Matthew, to the days of Acts, to the days when John was in the Isle of Patmos, all he explained to us was that a man can burn. If you do not burn, you will not only answer to Jesus, you will answer to every human being. You will answer to the Pharisees and Sadducees that did not have access to the mysteries of the kingdom. You will answer. Why are you not born inside? Meanwhile, burning. You don't know a man that is burning because he's unkept. Do you know why Jesus was regarded as a lover of sinners? It was because he not only stayed with them, he looked like them. And if you understand what they meant by looking like, it means that he appeared physically to be like them. Let me not go into that. Don't worry. Teach us to praise him. Looked at God and he said, my life I will lead. He says, teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me in your plain path. Because of my enemies, they can overtake me if you don't teach me how to burn. Your hands have not been taught to lit yourself on fire. You don't know how to catch fire. What is the essence of life? All of us here after this preaching, early in the morning on Saturday, each of us will designate ourselves to different part of Ondo. You go to the mortuary in the left. You enter the mortuary on the right. You go to this hospital. You go to this. We fling ourselves around hospitals in Ondo town. And after 2 hours, nobody in Ondo again is sick. They will question what is happening. They will question what is happening. This is why you don't need platforms. You are a burning altar. Life is a platform. Jesus made public spectacles of burials. He was in the business of making sure that everything that what you call the ministry of Jesus was his daily activities. It was not designed in programs. He did not designate the prophetic for when he has the mic. What you know as the ministry of Jesus was his normal doings. Jesus had doings. And his doing was that he will wake up in the morning and on his way to the mountain to pray, he will meet a man that is lame and cannot see. And the man will say, help me, help my unbelief. And he will tell the man, see. He will be walking along the way. He will see a woman whose her only child is dead. And he will not enjoy their white rice. He will not go and look for white native to attend the burial because burial rice is sweet. He will not go there. What he will do is that he will go to the coffin and lay hands. He was in that business.
Oh, I will burn.
Follow me. Follow me.
Oh, I will burn.
What is your response?